السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. نئی روشنی، تیرا منہ ہو کالا، اندر سے اندھیرا، باہر اجالا. الحمدللہ، it is only with the فضل کرم and احسان of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are gathered here in this مبارک جلسہ in the company of many students of deen, in the company of many akabirin, many mashayikh, many people from around the globe, and more importantly yourselves. Why I say this is because a person who has passed his stage of youth, although he may not be gone too old, but he has passed the stage that is referred to as the zamana of youth, then when he sits in the company of youth, then he will lament his youth. So alhamdulillah, most of you are not past that stage, so don't end up like me, that when you reach an older age, then you will. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that one of the categories of people who will be under the shade or in the shade of the arsh of Allah Rabbul Izzat will be those youth who spent their days of youth in the obedience of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So don't let this opportunity pass us by. Those that are elder amongst us, there is a much more beneficial program for you taking place upstairs. So you should be there. This program is more specifically for the youth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The reason I'm going back a little bit is because you may be thinking that where do you fit in all of this? I'm talking about the youth. Sometimes you may think that now this Khanqa and this Sheikh story and Piri Muridi and all this thing here is all too high tech for me. I still have to finish my studies. I will find one nice girl, get married, settle down, make some money, build my palace, drive my sports car. After that, then we'll check about this Piri Muridi story and all that. So you may be thinking that where do I fit in all of this? How is all of this relative to me? Okay, I can understand, talk to me about reading namaz. Tell me that if I've got some money, I must go for Hajj. Tell me about these things, I can relate to it, I can understand it. But where do I fit in with all this Piri Muridi story? Then another thought may come to your mind that you are hearing everybody saying that no, you must have a sheikh, so that if you faced with anything in your life, you can consult, you can make mashwara and all these things. So then again you may be thinking that I got my father there, everything I say he disagrees with, so I just have to listen to what he's saying. And I go to the school, if I'm going to tell them what I want to do, they don't listen to me. In the Darul Uloom is the same story. If we tell them now we want 2 hours Qeerullah, they're going to say you're crazy, forget about it. So I don't need all this thing here. This is all for the big people. they make decisions and all that, so they need one sheikh and they need all this guidance. This thing is not for me. I think this is the mistake that most of us make, the biggest mistake that most of us make, that we don't get involved in this tasawwuf, we don't find a sheikh in our young days. Whereas if we have to look at the system around us, so if you have to take the Darul Uloom, mainly you will find students within the age, I'm talking about those in the Alim class now, mainly you will find students between the ages of 15, 16, going up to 25. If there's somebody elder than 25, then he's the talk of the Darul Uloom. Ask me about it, I'm talking from experience. There's, you know, a certain person, he's so old, he's got so many children and he's still studying here. You get the talk of the Darul Uloom, even in the Jalsa, if you're lucky, they may mention it. So, you find that age group in the Darul Uloom. You go to the school and the university, is the same story, you find that age group there. You go in the sports field, somebody who's taking up a certain sport, you find that age group there. But you go to the Khanka, you only find all the old topis there. All old people are there. Now the elders that are sitting here, if you're feeling uncomfortable, it's not my fault, right? You're not supposed to be here in the first place. So you're supposed to be upstairs. I'm talking to my friends here, so we're talking our lingo, they say, you know. We're talking our lingo, right? So khair, in any field where a person is learning, a person is getting involved, you'll find that age group between 15 and 25. But you go to the Khanka and you find all elderly people there. You don't find this age group. Illa mashallah, you'll get a few people. But more than that, you don't find this age group because we think that this got nothing to do with me. I don't fit in here. Some years back, Ajibai Padia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was making a tikaf in our town in Pietermaritzburg. So he was at a certain masjid. So I had to go there to meet him. And I told one of my friends, we are on the same age, at that time we may have been just around 20 years of age. So I told him, hey, I have to take something there to Haji Sam, why you don't come with me? So normally if I would tell him, I said, let's go for a chow, and no problem, jump in, let's go. They take a drive, no problem, jump in, let's go. Now I'm telling him, let's go see Haji Sam. Hey, that's not my bracket, man. Come on, take it easy. That's not my bracket now. So this is our general attitude. Even a student of deen, a person in a Darul Uloom also, he also feels this way. Today, I'm still studying. We'll see about these things later. Right? So this is where we make a mistake, a big mistake in our lives. My late father, Allah Bakhtul is covered with Noor, when I had completed Hifz, so I must have been about 14 years of age, 15 years of age. So at that time everybody was, in the Darul Uloom, you complete Hifz, you have a Jalsa, right, you get a couple of days off, they give you a good chow in the Madrasa, and then you will come back to do your door. But every parent is so happy when their child completes Hifz, that they want to give their child some gift, some present or something. So now, at that time, now you're expecting, today's time is different. Now today's time you may be expecting one iPhone or something like that. Now that time, you're expecting one fancy watch or one fancy shoe or, you know, something like that may come our way now. You're going to get one present. So when my father came, the Jalsa, everything finished up, so I see he's talking to one of the ustads there in the Darul Uloom, Madrasa Zakaria. Then that night, he told me, he says, see, now you finished Hifz, I'm sending you to Jahanabad. I'm thinking, what is this now? Where this came from? Where's the watch? Where's the tacky? Where's so much in your account to put or something like that? He's telling me, I'm sending you to Jahanabad. Never heard that. don't know what the place looks like, nothing. Okay, I had heard Azadji Rahmatullah Ali's name, I heard the place, because we had the good fortune of sitting in Dr. Hansa Sahib Namad Barakatpur's programs. And my father had some taluk with Azadji Rahmatullah Ali. So we knew, but now, I mean, you finished Heaves, now you're expecting something else. He's telling you, I'm sending you to Jalalabad. But Allah Pak fully stumbled with news. He made the right effort. Our fault was we didn't take the cue. We waited till later on. So coming back to what I was saying, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created shaitan long before he created insan. Right? Shaitan is a jinn. Right? He was created long before Allah Pak created insan. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created insan. Now before insan was created, the shaitan, he was riding the crest of a wave. He was the dawn. He was the main man. Not only on earth, even in heaven. You heard the story umpteen times, right? But we're going down just to understand a point. He's a mean person now. Even the malaika are coming to surround with him and tell him, right, give us some advice or tell us something or whatever. They're also looking up to him. Right? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and Allah Pak instructs the malaika to make sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So the malaika all make sajda because they got no choice. They're not created with the power of choice. They can only obey the laws of Allah. That's why Jannat is not created for them. Because they don't have feelings. You see, they're not 15 and getting carried away with a pretty face that's going past. They don't have to contend with pornography on their iPhone. They don't have these challenges. Right? They can only worship and be obedient to Allah. So they can't get Jannat. Because Jannat is something that's expensive and they're not paying the price. Right? So they can't get Jannat. Right? So the malaika, they automatically make sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. But this shaitan, who was not accursed as yet. Right? He was riding the crest of a wave. He was a mean person. And now he refuses to make the sajda. Now, I'm not going into all the ayat and all those things, but basically what happens is, because he didn't make sajda to our father, Allah Pak threw him out. Allah Pak threw him out, Allah Pak made him rajim. Now, try and appreciate the gravity of the situation. On the one hand, we got a jinn who is worshipping Allah for many years. He's a true abid, he's worshipping Allah for many years. He has been now elevated to be in the ranks of the angels. Right? He's where he wants to be. He's reached the top. And because of Hazrat Insan, he is now coming right down. Right down. You know, it's like the game Snake and Ladders, the children play Snake and Ladders. There is number 97 or 98 or something, and they get caught with one snake, and they end up right down there, number 1, number 2 or something. So now, that person who reached in that game, he shouldn't be playing that game in the first place, but if he reached there, number 1, number 2, he can still climb up again. But this fellow, Bichara, he got no chance of climbing again. He's over, he's done with, he's finished. He knows that his destiny is now Jahannam, finish. He has become a rajim, right? He didn't take the chance of asking Allah Pak for forgiveness, and he is now destined for hellfire. Now why is he ending up there? Because of me and you. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, at that time, he didn't even make one sajda to Allah. Shaitan had made so many, right? But because Shaitan refused to make one sajda to Adam alayhi salam, despite the millions of sajdas he made to Allah Pak, but he refused to make one sajda to Adam alayhi salam, right? he is now debased. So he got it in for us. He got it in for us. And he has made a promise in the royal court of Allah Pak that this human race, I'm taking them with me to hellfire. Finish. This is his mission on earth. That he is taking us to hellfire. Right? This is what he wants. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a nafs. Right? Now what is the nafs? Now if we're going to go into a technical discussion and explain to you about surat and sirat and the faculties and all these things, take a very long time. Right? This is the easy way of me telling you, I don't understand it too much myself. So, we don't get too much into the details there. Right? But anyway, simply put, what is this nafs? Right? You see, Fajr time, when the Muazzin is saying Allahu Akbar, and your body is saying, "Eh, come on, 2 minutes more." That's the nafs. Right? You see, when you're walking, and there's a pretty face going past, and we know that we have to look down, but there's strong urge inside. No, just look. It's one time. No, does she look like your sister? Maybe the. Didn't you see the manhole there in the front? She may fall down. My Muslim sister, I have to protect her. The other boys may interfere with her, so I better keep an eye on her. So that is the nafs. That's the nafs talking. So simply put, that is the nafs. It's taking us towards evil. Right? Now the question arises that, Ya Allah, you put us in the world. You know we have to contend with the devil. The devil wants to take us to Jahannam. You know we got this challenge. Ya Allah, why you put this nafs here also now? We can't question Allah. But these thoughts come to a person's mind. Just the other day, I received an email from a brother. We don't mention the names, but we mention the content, so we take ibrat. He says, I am trying to give up guna. I've come out of all my filth. I've given up my bad company. I've started wearing kurta. I'm starting to keep my beard on my face. I'm reading all my namazes. But now after a few months, I've indulged in zina. Why is Allah not making me strong? This is his question. I'm doing everything. Why is Allah not making me strong? So sometime a person starts asking certain questions and then he can even border on kufr. Right? He starts overstepping the bound. You see, when we're young, then we be reckless. Dr. Ismail Mangera Sahab, when I was maybe about 16, 17 years old, so my father took me to him. You know, when the father fails with the son, now he looks for some other person to talk to him. Right? So he took me to Dr. Ismail Sahab's surgery in, what's the name of that? I can't remember now the name of that suburb. But anyway, he took me there. So, Dr. Saab told my father, he said, "Well, the doctor is consulting with the patient, please excuse us." Right? So my father had to wait in the waiting room. So I'm sitting there in the surgery. So Dr. Saab, he started off, he says to me, he says, "Hafiz Saab, you know, when the child is small, the child is like an animal." Right? The child just makes number one, number two, anywhere, anytime. While the child is eating, the child is making also. The child got no sense of anything. Right? So then the child progresses now, grows up, and the child becomes a teenager. Right? Now the child is a teenager. So I said, "Well, that's where I put in now, teenager. Now let's hear some accolades here for the teenagers. I mean, we finished the child, the stage of being an animal. Now we progressed into something here." So now the child becomes a teenager. Now he transforms into a wild animal. Now he wants to be the man. He wants to devour. He wants to hit, make his mark, prove his point. So we reckless through the stage of youth. We become reckless. And sometimes in this reckless state, we may even make a statement that can impact on our iman. Right? So people start asking certain questions. So this is why I'm explaining this to you, that a person, this question, shaitan can put it in his mind. That you say Allah loves you, you say Allah is most merciful, Allah is most kind, Allah made jannat for you. So Allah Pak knows that shaitan is here. Now why Allah Pak still put a nafs inside you? Remember, we're trying to understand, where do we fit in with this tasawuf? Right? So Allah Pak put this nafs. So the question comes, why did Allah Pak put this nafs? The answer to this is, let's see, the nafs is not a bad thing. Now you may be thinking, this Molitab really don't know what he's talking about. Whole life we're hearing this nafs is our enemy, and he's saying that nafs is not a bad thing. Now I'm telling you, the nafs is not a bad thing. In fact, the nafs has to be there. If the nafs is not there, we won't be able to function. You see, if the nafs was not there, that curry kitchi would have all still been in the den. We wouldn't have eaten it, because we got no nafs. Right? If the nafs was not there, I'll carry on talking here till midnight. I won't get tired, because there's no nafs. So the nafs makes us feel hungry. The nafs makes us feel thirsty. When we feel thirsty, it's the nafs that's feeling thirsty. Now if there was no nafs, then we wouldn't have had to print nikah books. Right? No nikah would have taken place because the man got no nafs. Why does he need to get married? So you see, the nafs has to be there. Right? Now to understand this nafs, you got your motor car with the engine and all else that goes in a motor car, and you're driving, right? You're driving this motor car, wonderful car, new car. You're driving on the highway. Next thing you hear a sound. What happens? Tire bust. Right? Now you say to yourself, I mean, such a wonderful car. Right? New car, brand new engine, V8, the works, everything. Why do we need these tires? They keep giving headaches. They attract nails. They cause problems, they bust, they wear out. And such a lovely car, why do we have to put these tires in and create all the problem? So if a person thinks that way, you say, "Bhai, come on man, you're living other side the moon, come back here." Right? We need those tires. But we have to contend with the fact that the tires are going to bring us problems as well. But we need the tire. There's a whole industry, right, that is researching tires. And we need them. So we can't say do away with these tires because they're getting flat. No. We have to keep looking after those tires, ensuring that no problem comes there. So the nafs is like that in the body. Without the nafs, the body won't be able to function. We won't be humans anymore. So that's why Allah Pak put that nafs there. So in this field of tasawuf, coming back now to this field of tasawuf, what are these mashayikh trying to do? Why are they telling us that you need to attach yourself to somebody, you need to now correspond with somebody, you need to make mashwara with somebody? Why they're telling us all of this is because they want to teach us, they want to teach us how to control this nafs. How to control the nafs. Right? A watchdog is a very, very good thing in an area where there's crime. We're not talking from a Shari perspective. We're not talking from a Shari perspective. But a watchdog is a good thing in a place where there is crime. But the same watchdog, if it can't be controlled, now it's a dangerous thing. My late Sheikh, Allah Pak fill his qabr with noor, Once he was walking in the park, it used to be his habit in those days when there were not so many people. So after Fajr Namaz on a Sunday, he would take a walk in the park. So when he entered the park, there was a sign there that no dogs except on leash. No dogs except on leash. So then he gave a whole majlis on that board. And he explained, he said, why did they put up this sign here? No dogs except on leash. Because if the dog is going to come into the park and he's not on a leash, right? Now, no one is safe. Even the flowers are not safe. That dog is going to be putting his mouth in somebody's sandwich, going to be jumping here, causing problem there, the children will be screaming and crying here. But if it's on a leash, now there's no problem. It's on a leash, it's controlled, then there's no problem. So this nafs is like that. You see, the nafs is beneficial, but the nafs doesn't like rules. Nafs doesn't like rules. And the nafs is a master at excuses. And if you really want to learn fine print and all that, listen to the nafs. You will get all the ahkam of Allah Pak. You're playing it in your mind. Hey, but Mauli Sahab said that. Father said that. Mother said that. This one heard that in the bayan. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. But nafs will give you one fine print. Hey, but come on, you can do this also. And you'd actually feel pious about the whole thing too. You may even feel pious about the whole thing. So this is the nafs. It doesn't like rules. It doesn't want to be controlled. And if a person tries to control it on his own, he's going to get bitten. He's going to get bitten. And sometimes that bite is fatal. You see, in India you get these people, they mesmerize the cobras. They keep a cobra in a basket. And then they open the lid. But before they open the lid, he plays his flute. And he mesmerizes this thing, like he hypnotizes that cobra. After that he opens the lid. This cobra comes out. Everybody is spectating around it, all looking. The cobra comes out, it's like a thrill. People throw money to the person, admiring his skill, that how he got this cobra under control. Right? But if he has to give somebody else the fruit, what will happen? Somebody who doesn't know that art, he has to take the flute. If you see that person did that, you say, alright, let me try this thing. Oh, it looks like a piece of cake. Bring a cobra here. Then what's going to happen? Right? Now, we don't know how it's done. Right? But if somebody goes and learns from that person, then he may figure out the art, how to do it. So these mashayikh of ours, that is what they are doing. This is their kaam. That is what they are doing. The number one, they keep reminding us that look, this world that's looking so attractive to you, that girl that's looking so pretty, those opportunities towards haram, right, that are looking so attractive, that's not for you. That's not for us. They keep reminding us regarding that. That's one function. Then they keep reminding us that we have to get connected to Allah Ta'ala. That's the second thing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yesterday, Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki Sahib, Naam al-Barakatuh, he was at our masjid and he gave a little nasihat. And he mentioned, they read the ayat of the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That the only deen that is acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. Right? Now we sometimes lose focus of this point. We get so involved in what's happening in the dunya that we lose focus of this main point, that I am supposed to be a Muslim. We forget this. Now if you look at a person, the fashion that he wants to follow, the way that he wants to be, the things that he wants to get involved in, etc., etc., and then he goes to Deen and Shariat and asks himself that where does it fit in? How do these things, these activities in my life, where do they fit in with Deen and Shariat? And then he sees that, you know what, I don't know where I've drifted. Right? Now the system of the kuffar, you see, when the Quraysh were making a mashwara, right, they were consulting with one another regarding what should be done with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So in that meeting, Shaitan came there. People today get all excited that they talk about what recently there something came out, all this about all these songs and how these people are in touch with the devil and white checkered floors and black checkered floors, and all the youth are like, so I can't remember what they call this thing. What? No. What? Arrivals. All the arrivals. Now all of them are so taken aback by this arrivals thing. Now if they watch the arrivals, then they say, no man, you know, this is what these people are up to. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the first place that this music creates hypocrisy in the heart, that doesn't trouble us too much. But what they said in the arrivals now, checkered floors and going from this world to the crossing over to the evil world and all that, that now is all like high tech. Now that you say, hey, you know what, I saw this thing in the arrivals. So khair, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these mushrikeen were making mashwara that what must we do with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the arrivals took place that time too. Shaitan arrived there in that meeting. He's not only coming to all these musicians and all that today. He's doing this job from long time. So Shaitan came there in that meeting. And he gave them the opinion that you must get one person from each tribe and simultaneously all of them should attack Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'uzu billahi min zalik. But wa makaru wa makar Allah wallahu khayrul makirin. Right? Their plot failed. But my point is that who came and gave the mashwar? Shaitan himself. So all this evil that is taking place, it is guided, in inverted commas, by Shaitan himself. All these activities, all this pornography, these movies, the different sporting activities, the education system, the secular education system, everything is by him. He got his chelas everywhere and he is giving them mashwara. Maybe not directly like how he did there in the meeting, but his mashwara is going through to all these people. Now if you look at the school system and the university system, what a disservice it has done to the Muslim youth. I'm not saying it's haram to go to school and university, but what it has done to the psyche of the Muslim youth. You see, the person goes to school, right? He's gone to matric. He's now 17, 18 years old. Right? He's 17, 18 years old. If somebody wants to take a chance with him, hey, don't mess with me. I'm a matriculant. I'm a big boy. Right? But if his parents talk to him about namaz, I'm still a lighty. Come on, take it easy. I'm still young. When it comes to deen, if his father has to tell him this weekend, or we want to take a holiday, we need you to look after the shop. I'm so young. You leave the shop with me. But when he wants the father's car keys, then he's old. I can drive now, Papa. Other people are also driving. Come on. I can drive now. So what this system has done is that although he has become responsible for his actions, but the system makes him think that he's still a child. He goes to university, he's 22, 23 years old, and he still thinks he's a child. He's in a Darul Uloom, he's in Dora, and he still thinks he's a child. He feels that, no, only after I complete my studies, then my life starts. But what has happened? He became baligh at the age of 15 or 14 or 13. He is now 22, 23. For 10, 11 years of his life, he is already mukallaf. How many namazas have become qaza? How much guna he has indulged in? So this is why the system of Islam is different. The system of Islam is, from 7 years of age, the child must now be put into a tarkib of salah. 10 years of age, if he is not reading namaz, if you need to give him one, two, little bit, just to give him a wake up call, not hit him like a lashing some beast or something, but just a wake up call if you need to give him, then the parent has got the right to give the child one, two spanks, to wake him up, to wake up or read or start reading your namaz, right? When he's 10 years old, he's not barred as yet. Now the man is 17, 18 years old, he's being told he must read namaz. See, we're still young. But Shariat is saying, when he's 10 years old, he doesn't read namaz, give him a shot. Why? Just now he's going to be an adult. He doesn't go into adulthood in phases. When he sees that dream, he's very happy. But does he realize that from the moment I saw that dream, now my books have opened. Right? So now you started business. You started business now. Right? You see, your business had started long before. But with that time, your business, there was no fear of any criminals. And if you made any flops also, it was covered up. Because you are not of age. But once the person is now of age, now all that he was already accruing, he got investments in Jannah, he got a couple of estates there, one, two bungalows, the works he got there, right? His book of deeds is full, there's no gunas, and nobody could snatch it away. But now he has got that problem. Once he saw that dream, or once he became of age, now he got that problem. That now he has become prey for nafs and shaitan. Prior to this, he was not prey for nafs and shaitan. Now he is prey for nafs and shaitan. Right? So this is why, from then, he needs a sheikh. Because if he is going to let this beast within him go loose, he's got a problem. And at that time, the beast is at its strongest. When he's 15, 16, 17 years old, at that time he is at his healthiest, the nafs is at its strongest, so that's the time he needs a sheikh more than that 40-year-old and 50-year-old topi. He needs a sheikh first. He needs someone he can talk to, because he's going through turmoil in his brain. He is so confused, and he doesn't want to accept that he's confused. He's confused, he's very, very confused, he's a frustrated person. And he doesn't want to accept this because his pride is not going to allow him. Right? Nobody wants to go and say, right, okay, cuff me. Now when he goes to the sheikh, he's telling the sheikh, cuff me, I'm yours. From now onwards, you are going to show me how to control this beast within. And if that beast is controlled, it's only going to do good for you. It's only going to work in your favor. So there's only nafa, there's only benefit in this system. There is benefit in the system. And this is something that is special. This is something that is special to this work of deen. You see, in this work of deen, it's a one-to-one thing. All the other works of deen are extremely important. We must get engaged in them. We must do them. We must practice. Dawat work, studying in the Darul Uloom, everything is imperative. But we must have a sarparast. We must have somebody on our heads who we trust, who we can relate to, who we can talk to, Whenever we faced with a situation, we must be able to go talk to the person. A youngster, just the other day, he came to me, he says, "Mona, you know what? I'm in a problem now." "So what's the problem?" I've been lying to my parents that I'm going for HEALS class. For the past year, every day that I've been leaving home, I've been going to a certain girl's house. This girl is now a non-Muslim girl. Right? Now she's expecting. Now what am I going to do? She wants to tell her parents, "My father would slaughter me alive. What am I going to do?" Now, if this person had a sheikh, would he have found himself in this predicament? One day, in the masjid that I used to be before, one mother came crying to the masjid. "So, Mona, you have to come home." "So what happened?" She can hardly talk. "Says, you have to come home." So we took few brothers, we went to the house. When we opened the front door, her son is hanging from the beam. She came home from work to open the front door and see her son hanging from the beam. Why? Same story. It made a non-Muslim girl pregnant. She was saying, "Now I have to tell my parents." Her family had come to know. Her brothers were now waiting for him. "You either tell your parents, get married here, or we're going to sort you out." Now these are just one, two examples. Now ask yourself this, we ask ourselves this question, right? That was it all worth it to finish off like this? For that person to make dua, "Allah Pak grant him maghfirat, Allah Pak have mercy on his soul." But ask ourselves, is it worth it to end off like this? Now, I know Moana told me 40 minutes and it's 40 minutes now. But I just want to tell you one more thing and then we'll have, Moana can... Moana better be sitting here when all the questions come so he can be answering. Right? You know, my Ustad, Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahab, Allah Pak grant him long life, he used to say, "Indal imtihan, yukramur rajulu o yuhan. Chahe desai ho, ya chohan." You see, at the time of imtihan, then a person is either honored or is disgraced, you know. So talking as if it's easy, now when you start asking questions, then we'll go behind the chair and put Maulana here. Right. So anyway, what I wanted to tell you, somebody told me this, and ghaliban they quoted Maulana Qatani Sahib. I'm not sure, but I can't remember exactly, but ghaliban they quoted Maulana Suleiman Qatani Sahib, Allah Pak grant him long life. They said he gave this example, and it's really something, a marvelous example. He said, look, take Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, right? Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he accepted the call of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By accepting the call of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened to him? What happened to him? He got injured. He was made shaheed. His body was mutilated. His liver was chewed. Necklace was made of his ears, his nose. Because I'm talking about apparent in the dunya what we saw. What the dunya saw. That he accepted the call of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happened to him? Right? On the other side, we got Abu Jahl. Right? Abu Jahl, always very proud, always the main person in his clan, the chief. Right? He rejected the call of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he also died. He also died on the battlefield also. Both on the battlefield. Right? And what happened to Abu Jahl? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the Sahaba go and see where is he. And one Sahabi went, chopped off his head and brought it. This is the head of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl is no more. Right? There's something the ulama mentioned. They say that the Abu Jahl was like the Fir'aun of our ummah, you know. But he is worse than the Fir'aun in the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Why? Because they say Fir'aun in the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when Jibreel alayhi salam was there now, the angel of death and all that in the depths of the ocean to take his soul. So at that time what he said? He said, I bring iman upon the Rabb of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. But Jibreel alayhi salam was so upset with him that Jibreel alayhi salam even took sand from the depth of the ocean and he threw it in his mouth. That this one mustn't read Karima. Caused it too much. But although that iman was not accepted of his, because he could already see the things of the akhirat. But the point is that when it came to that moment, he even brought iman, he wanted to bring iman. He wanted to bring iman at that time. Right? But our bichara, Abu Jahl, Allah Pak protect us, don't make us become like him. But this Abu Jahl, when they were going to chop his head off also, he is telling the Sahabi that when you're chopping my head, you make sure you chop it from low down. So when all the heads are put there, my head will be the tallest. That time also he never leave his pride. That time also he never leave his pride. It's like the student gets caught. He has to go to the dean or he has to go to the principal's office. So when he goes back to the room. Now he did wrong, he got caught. Right? Now instead of being apologetic and sorry about this whole thing, yeah, I told him that. I just told him that. I had them. Even that time, he's not forgetting his arrogance. That's why I say you must make dua. Allah Pak don't make us like that. One friend of mine, he told me, we're talking about the benefit of having a sheikh. So he's telling me, he said he went home. He left the car keys behind the vase. Right? He doesn't normally leave it there, but he was there, so he left the car keys there. After that, now it's Isha time. Now last minute he made wuzu. And he needs to get to the masjid, like 95.9% of us. We just cut it to the last minute, like, you know. So anyway, I can't find the car keys. Now he's blaming his wife. Right? You did this. Why you moved this? Why you moved my things? Now I can't find my keys. And he's taking off. He's letting I have it now, one way. Now everybody is helter skelter, everybody is looking for the keys. You know, when you lose something, you look for it where you know it can never be also. So anyway, eventually he saw where the keys are. He saw where the keys are and he remembered, I left the key there. So what he did now? Quietly he took the key, he put in his pocket. Because now how is he going to cut his nose here and tell them that, you know what, it is my fault, make maaf, like, you know, I left the key. Because he finished. Swear them, take off with them, shout them, tell them the worst of things. You are the most stupid people here, just leave my things alone and whatever. But he was the foolish person who put it in the wrong place. Now how is he going to face up to this, that, you know, all this needs to fall on me. Now when he's going to tell his wife, now she's going to let him have it. And the nafs doesn't like that. So he took the key and he put it in his pocket. Then quietly he went somewhere else, he left the key there, and then one child found it. Right? So he got out, right? But now the man got iman. The man got iman, he got a conscience. The next day he came to me, he said, "Mohan, you know, I did a terrible thing." So what happened? This is what I did. So now he would be given advice, right? He would be given advice suitable for him to go and sort the problem out, which will hurt the nafs, and he won't do it again. See how the nafs will get disciplined? The nafs will get discipline. But if there was no sheikh, even kharkawan like me, then what is he going to do? Keep quiet about it. Keep quiet about it. Even if his conscience pricks him. Now what is nafs will tell him? No, you see, as the husband you need respect in the house. So for the sake of being, you need to maintain that respect. If you're going to go and tell them, respect is going to go away and all that. So you rather just maintain the respect and keep you doing it for Allah's sake. No worry, you got your class in what you're doing. Your nafs make fine print. Nafs is a master. So coming back to what I was telling you, and I'm going to conclude on this, is both of them, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Jahl, both of them passed away on a battlefield. Different battlefields, but battlefield. Abu Jahl passes away before, right? He passes away first. Then Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala passes away in the next battle. Right, Mona? Say, the tarikh is right. Right. So, if we have to calculate now, leave Jannat, leave the 50,000 years that the duration of Day of Qiyamah will be and all that, leave all that. Right. Let's just calculate now, from the Battle of Badr till today is how many years? Alright, we just shoot in the dark now, some plus minus 1400 years, right? Something like that. Around that figure, right? Plus minus. Right? And from Uhud, from the Battle of Uhud till now, minus 2 from that figure that we got, right? Anybody know anyone who lived for 1000 years? In our ummah. The previous ummah, they used to live very long. But our ummah, you know any kala you got? Granny somewhere, somebody? Made the Guinness Book of Records, 1000 years. How about 900, 800, 700, 600, 500? Nothing. 100 years, yeah, we heard one, two people, 120 around there. Right, one, two sahaba lived, maybe 200, according to some narrations. One, two people had some very long lives. But we haven't heard in our ummah somebody lived for 1000 years. Right. Now let's do another math. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam received nubuwat at age 40. Right. Only 3 years later was he commanded to make open da'wat. Right. So the da'wat reached Abu Jahl and Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'anan. Right. Where they had to now accept this da'wat 3 years later. Right. From that time to Badr is how many years? Badr took place first year after Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Madinah Sharif. So take out 3 years from the 13 years of Makkah Sharif, we left to 10 years. Right? Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala until the Battle of Uhud, right? 11 years. So Abu Jahl was going to die 10 years after he heard the call to Islam. He was going to die. His lifespan was only that much. He wasn't going to live a second more. He only had to listen to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. Wallahi, if he accepted the da'wat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even reading namaz with jamaat, he didn't have to do. Because even that was not farz at that time. Right? All he needed to do was say, I accept you as the Prophet of Allah, that's all. And I worship one Allah. That's all he had to do. And he only had to pull 10 years. Had he pulled the 10 years, like Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala pulled the 11 years, then today Abu Jahl's qabr would have been Rawdatun min Riyadil Jannah. But today what is it? Hufarun min Hufarin Nar. For 1400 and some odd years, he is being punished in his grave for not listening for 10 years. And Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala is enjoying the gardens of Jannat. His soul is in a bird that is flying around in Jannat because he listened for 11 years. For 1400 and some odd years he is enjoying. It's not my misal. Maulana Suleiman Qatani sahab, if it was him or whichever alim said it. But what a thing to make us reflect.
that we will look, we will become balig at age 15, 14. We will look for 60, 70, or maybe you one of those hitting the Guinea books 120, 130 at most. Right? And after that eternal bliss. So isn't it foolish to sell our Jannat for these temporary lights of the world? And the poet so beautifully put it, my Shaykh Muhammad Patrasab Rahmatullah used to always drum this in our head. Nayi roshni tera muh ho kala. That this new so-called civilization, this new type of way of life, this new type of culture, tera muh ho kala. May you be blackened. Andar se andera. You are nothing but darkness and filth inside. Bahar ujala. Outside everything looks like glitter and glamour. Everything looks like enjoyable. The person is snorting, he's thinking he's the man. Look at him 10 years later, he hardly got a nose left. So, andar se andera, bahar ujala. Outside it looks like everything is glimmer and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always say that if this dunyavi life with all its haram pleasures was so enjoyable, then how come we find so many actors and actresses, musicians, who got everything from a dunyavi perspective, but they can't maintain one marriage? They're so frustrated with life that they're committing suicide. And look at our akabirin. Look at our mashayikh. In their humble dwellings, in their simple lifestyle. But do we hear that certain buzurg, he committed suicide? Wa na'udhu billahi min zalik. So the proof is in the tasting. There's something that they are enjoying, that they're not getting frustrated. My Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Mahmud Mazhar Sahib Naun Barakatuhu, Allah Pa grant him long life, grant Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Hazrat Wala Naun Barakatuhu, Sihat, Afiyat. Hazrat was supposed to be here with us, but unfortunately he didn't come because of his duty to his Walid Sahib. It reminds us of Uwais Karni Rahmatullah Ali. He wanted to go meet Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but because of his obligation to his mother, he never went. So he was supposed to be here with us. But I mentioned this in many, many places, that if you look at him at any time, with all this, we will call it stress. We're running our 1 2x2 shop. The fellow says, you know, I've got 50 staff under me, man. You know, union problem, this problem, that problem. Hazrat got plus minus 4,000 or 5,000 students. So many madaris. So many asatiza in all those madaris. So much of work he's doing. But any time you look at him, put a smile on his face. Smile on his face. All the time he's cool and calm and carry on with his work and everything just carries on. When you get one fellow, just give him one factory, give him 50 staff members. Now he needs sleeping tablets in the night and he can't function and over so many staff and the drivers, they give you health and this and that. Now I'm talking about Hazrat. Now so many of his misals coming to mind. Just now we'll carry on here. But khair, Allah Pak, whatever we spoke, Allah Pak make it beneficial. And I hope that at least this point is understood, that why in our youth, more especially in our youth, why we need the guidance of a sheikh. And why the youth need to get involved in tasawuf. Because the heart is the engine of the body. The bodies will be used for the upliftment of deen. If that engine is not functioning properly, where our deen is going to go? So the hearts of the youth need to get sorted out. And that's going to get sorted out when you go and hand ourselves over to our sheikh. Then he will sort that out. Then see what the youth of Islam will do. Like they did in the zamana of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Anyone has to ask? Anyone has written or asked?
Sorry, I mentioned, you know, the students of Deen, they stay in Madaris, and genuinely, we find that the students don't know the first thing about the show, they don't know the first thing about Islam, they speak to them about a sheikh, they don't know what it is. be interacting with students that are like that, what do we do?
See, if I don't know something, and all the people around me also don't know it, so then my way out is to find somebody who knows it. So if you are in the Darul Uloom, you are very, very fortunate, because especially here you got so many akabirin around you, so many mashayikh around you, right? So it's very, very easy. All you need to do is get attached to whichever one of them you feel an inclination to. If you feel you don't have to take bayat, you don't have to take bayat immediately, but you go to that ustad who you know has got an inclination towards the sauf, and you say to him that, look, introduce me to this, teach me what all this is about, and then inshallah that will be your doorway. Our brother Ziyad is telling me in his locality there in Leicester, so one of Hazrat Wala Damat Barakatuh's khulafa in that locality. So that was his window to tasawuf, is to attend those majalis. For myself, my window to tasawuf was Dr. Hansa Sam. We were little children, he used to have majlis, father used to attend the majlis, so now we had to tag along, although we didn't want to really be there, we wanted to be somewhere else, right? But we had to sit there, and then that's how we got introduced to tasawuf. So you latch on to an ustad who is inclined towards tasawuf, you go to him in the free time, and alhamdulillah you have kamil shuyukh around you, so they will not make you even compromise your studies. Our Hazrat was very, very particular. He used to tell us, if you're studying, you must excel in your studies also. Not that now you're becoming so involved in zikr and shagal and you became big Sufi sahab and now you're failing all the papers. That's not what is required. So that Shaykh Kamil will guide you where you'll excel in your studies also, and also it will be your window to the soul also. You see, you encourage them to look into tasawuf, but you cannot make tashkil to a particular sheikh. In tasawuf there is no tashkil to a sheikh, because it is a one-on-one thing. So each person must have munasabat. This is something very, very important. You see, when we're young, we want to do it and do it now. Whether it's wrong, whether it's right. When we want to do evil too, we want now, we do it now, finish, get it done with. We want to do good also, sort it out now, one time. So some lot of times what happens is a person takes bayat to a sheikh, he listens to one bayan, he says, you know, this sort of, he stops. Right? Then he says, no, let me go take bayat. After he takes bayat, then he realizes that, hey, you know what, I can't really talk to this person now, I can't relate to him, what he's telling me is not really working out for me. So this is why our mashayikh also, they don't just rush into bayat. Each person must go, he must sit in this one's majlis, see, no, I think I can ask a few questions, see if you're getting the answers that satisfy you, make amal on the prescriptions, see if it's working for you. Now you know there's a munasabat here, there's a munasabat, right? Once there is a munasabat, then don't waste time. Because if you got a munasabat and you waste time, nafs is going to play his tabla, because he doesn't want this thing, right? So as soon as there's a munasabat, then you don't waste time. That's procrastination. You procrastinate, then we don't know what can happen. There's a munasabat, you did your homework and you found munasabat, then you make bismillah and you go ahead. But eyes closed just to go into it, don't do that. Because so many people have taken bayat, they are not benefiting. It's just like for barkat, they took bayat and they are carrying on. So that is incorrect. And for students of deen, those that are, you know, studying in the Darul Uloom, etc., try and make mutala of two kitabs to get a good understanding of tasawuf. Try and make mutala of two kitabs. This is my opinion. You can ask your asatiza to give you better advice. But two kitabs that I found really beneficial to open a person's mind to tasawuf is Shariat and Tasawuf. But before you read Shariat and Tasawuf, read Good Character. Good Character by Azri Manumasiullah Rahmatullah Ali, Abbaji Rahmatullah Ali. If you read Good Character, it's in a little more simple form. to get an overall idea of what the tasawwuf is, how to find a shaykh, when do you know that you found the right person, etc., etc. And after you read that kitab, read Shariat and Tasawwuf. So during your holiday or whatever, when you don't have too much of mutala, etc., to make, try and read these kitabs, you get a good understanding of where to start looking, how to look, etc. Anybody else wants to?
Sir, can you please explain after silsila how all four silsilas joined to
the silsila? See, that's why you must have a sheikh, no? You must have a sheikh. You see, my sheikh, second sheikh, Hazrat Muhammad Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to give bayat, then he used to always mention all four silsilas. It is entering you into all four silsilas. Right? So, now in the Khanka you don't ask questions, you know. You just carry on. What the Shaykh is doing, you carry on. But after some time, then one day I was sitting with Hazrat. So I asked him, plucked up the courage a little bit. And I said, Hazrat, just want to find out something. So he said, no problem, ask. So I asked him. I said, Hazrat, we notice other mashayikh, they enter a person into a single silsila. But I've noticed yourself entering your murids into all the silsilas. So Hazrat explained that, look, the silsilas in tasawuf are not like the fiqhi mazahib. Right? Fiqhi mazahib, we've got your Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Maliki. There we've got to choose one mazhab, and we stick by that mazhab. We cannot hop around. Right? We got one mazhab, we follow that one mazhab. Right? However, in tasawuf, there is no rule in tasawuf that you cannot take an idea, for example, from the Qadiriyya Chistiyya or Qadiriyya Silsila and use it if you are a Naqshbandi Shaykh. Right? But you've got a murid who you feel that the way of the Qadiriyya may assist him, may help him. So there is no rule in tasawuf that you say, no, because you're in Chistiyya Silsila, you can't use that. In tasawuf, you can use all the silsilas. So Hazrat used to say that because in our silsila, people are coming from all walks of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted this silsila so much that people from different countries, different backgrounds, many people are coming into this silsila. So this is why they enter a person into all four silsilas one time. All four silsilas one time. So that later on, if the Shaykh feels that, no, I need to use something from the Naqshbandiya tariqa on this person, that's going to be unfa' for him, then the Shaykh will use it. But obviously, that Shaykh also will have to be a person who is well versed in all those tariqas. Now if a person got khilafat from his sheikh, and now he starts now one way, he says, my sheikh, let me also do all four silsilas and everything. And somebody asks him, okay, bhai, so what's the difference now between Naqshbandiya tariqa and Chistiyya tariqa? So he says, no, one starts with M, the other one starts with C. So you've got a problem also. So those senior mashayikh who understand all of that, they understand the temperaments and the mizaj, so that is why they enter the person into all four. But inshallah, you must ask one of the Namit Sahib also, maybe he'll be able to give you some better explanation. But that is what Hazrat had explained to me at that time. When you're in grade 1, they give you a grade 1 explanation. So I got the grade 1 explanation. Maybe you'll get some other explanation from other mashai. Anybody else want to ask anything?
How do I come out of this
mess of
masturbation?
This is a sickness that is becoming very, very common. The question is that how do I come out of the sickness of masturbation? The sickness that is becoming very, very common to such an extent that married people are also masturbating. There was an incident recently where a wife is complaining that my husband thinks I'm asleep, and to keep his izzat, I'm keeping quiet. I carry on like I'm sleeping. but he is sitting next to me and he is masturbating. Now he's got a pure wife next to him whom Allah Pak gave him, but he's got into the sickness of masturbation, that although he got a wife next to him, a person who's not married, his nafs, see the fine print of the nafs, a person who's not married, his nafs tells him, no, you're only masturbating because you haven't got a wife. If your father allows you to get married, you won't do this. That is the lie of the nafs. That is the lie of the nafs. Now here is a person who is married, his wife is there next to him, but because he is caught up in the sickness, he is still masturbating. One person was sitting once in the majlis of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. It was Ramadan Sharif. This person was some educated person, right? He was sitting there in the majlis, and he asked Hazrat with regards to this masturbation thing. He said that evil, this to masturbate, is an inherent quality of man. He will do it. There's no way he won't do it. You see how lopsided that type of knowledge is. So he's saying, no, it's something that's inherent. You will do it. So Hazrat is explaining to him that you can't say something that is haram is inherent, that you can't stay out, can't stay away from it. And he is questioning, Hazrat is answering him, he's questioning, he's carrying on. So then he said that, then how do you explain this? He's asking Hazrat. He said, how do you explain this? I've got a 4-year-old, I don't know whether he said 4-year-old or 5-year-old, grandson. Right? And the other day I went into the room, and the grandson is making the action of masturbating. Now he's got no feelings, he doesn't understand any of this, so how come he's doing it? So Hazrat just told him, carry on showing him the TV, carry on feeding the child haram, then this would be the natija, this would be the anjam. So if a person is not going to make ifazat of the eyes, he's not going to make ifazat of the mind. You see, these advices of Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Daun Barakatuhu, people say, every time we come, we say the same thing. 4 advices. Keep the mind clean, keep the, protect the eyes, keep the beard on the face, keep the pants above the ankles. Now a person says, every time he's coming, he's saying the same thing. This thing, if the heart and the mind is clean, and the hifazat is made of the eyes, all these problems are solved. You won't have this problem. Right? Today we're not making hifazat of our eyes, we're not making hifazat of the mind and the heart. And we are lacking in the conviction that jo tu karta hai chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. One person had a sickness of masturbating, so he wrote, gave some advice, he wrote again, not coming out of it, gave some other advice, wrote again 3, 4 times, 5 times, up and down the emails are going. He said, no, still falling prey. I said, no problem. No problem. The next time you feel like masturbating, go to your parents' room and masturbate. Go to your parents' room in front of your parents and masturbate. The next time you feel like masturbating, you got permission now, go. But go do it in your parents' room. Now why we won't do it? Where all the shahwat went away at that time? The person says he's masturbating because he can't control his shahwat. No, I just can't control. So do we see anybody here just standing up and masturbating? Yeah, I just can't control. So what it shows, he can control. Nafs is bluffing him that he can't control. So in the end I told him, I said, no, next time you want to masturbate, go do it in your parents' room while your parents are there. Then he sent a reply, he said, now I have understood that Allah Pak is watching me. Allah Pak is watching me. So, 2 things. One is our lack in the yaqeen and conviction that my Allah is aware of my actions. That's the first thing. The second thing is, we're feeding our desires. We're not making hifazat of the eyes. Now you take a person in his jawani and he's looking at pornography, or he's looking at the back page of the Sunday Times, or he's looking in some magazines, or he's thinking about women, then he's going to end up committing the guna. You can't take a hungry man, put him next to the chicken tikka stand, and tell him don't eat. He's going to end up eating. Right? So two things. One is you need to build that yaqeen and conviction that my Allah is watching me. The second thing is that we need to remove ourselves from the things that are inciting us towards the guna. Many people who are committing that guna in today's zamana, the tools that they are using is their phones. Many people are looking at pornography on the phones and then they are ending up masturbating. So a lot of people who have told me about this sickness, that they are suffering from this sickness, so I ask them, if they tell me they got this is their problem, they are looking at pornography, I say, look, bhai, if it's a young person, you don't need that type of a phone. Why do you even need that phone? If you have to have a phone, have a simple phone that you can't get onto the internet. You don't need that iPhone and biphone and all those heavy. Now if a person is in business and he needs that type of thing, then I tell them that look, sometimes a man is not married, he's got that type of phone, he's ending up. I say, what you do now from today, take the phone every night, take the phone and leave it in your parents' room. Like you forgot it, don't say nothing. Like you forgot your phone there. So you don't have that phone by you. Because when the phone is there, now the temptation is close. So we have to take certain steps. One brother who was having this problem, I told him, I said, number one, don't keep your phone with you. Leave your phone there in your parents' room before you go to sleep. Number two, don't sleep with your room door closed. Leave your room door open. So we've got to take steps that will make it difficult. If a person is suffering with the sickness, we have to take steps to make it difficult for us. And obviously, create the awareness that Allah Pak is looking at me. And the second thing is that we don't indulge in those things that increase the shahwat. Even our diet, there's too much of junk food, hot foods, this also incites the shahwat. So a person must even watch his diet, what he's eating also. And if he just can't control himself, keep roza. And keeping roza 1-2 days, that will also increase the shahwat. He must keep roza for a period of time. That will break the shahwat. And if he's keeping the roza for a period of time, and every iftari is having half a dozen kajurs, that's also not going to help the situation. So you see why you need a chef. Now the chef will tell you how many kajurs you must eat and how many cucumber slices you must have. But it's a serious issue. There are people who have got married and cannot perform. Wallahi, it's not a joke. There are people who are married and they cannot perform. Their wives are frustrated. There are situations where there's an agreement now between the husband and wife. The wife will commit zina, but just keep the marriage intact to save his izzat. But she'll carry on committing zina because he can't fulfill her need. So in the jawani, we think everything is fine. That thing is going to carry on working forever. It's not going to work forever. If we abuse the ni'mat of Allah, Allah will take the ni'mat away. Then on the first night, we'll be crying. Person gets married, now on the first night, now he's crying. So it's a very, very serious thing. Mana masiyat mein mujrimana thori lazzat hai. Magar us palne wala se ek aisi bahawat hai. Thori der ki lazzat, hamesha ki nadamat. For a short while, a person will have some pleasure. If he masturbates, how long is he going to have pleasure? Couple of seconds. And it's all over. Then he even feels regret after that if he got iman. Thori der ki lazzat, hamesha ki nadamat. In another couplet, I can't get the Urdu, but he says that to go and make dafan of your own izzat, ye kya himakat hai? Your own izzat. Now imagine in front of your wife, you can't perform. How embarrassing that is. Now imagine your wife takes the case to the Jamiat office because she wants the fusk. She wants the fusk. So they're going to ask her, what grounds? She says, it's not working. Now you're a big businessman, or you're a big Moli Sahab, you're in the front stuff there. You have made Tawbah, now you're going to change your life. And now you're sitting there in front of all the ulama there in the Jamiat, and they are hearing now that Bhaijaan got a problem. So, we're saying it like a joke, but it's something to think about. Something to really think about. That don't throw your youth, don't throw your jawani away. Don't throw the jawani away. There are many, many downsides to it. Many, many downsides to it. Don't throw it away. Allah Pak has given it. Value it. Value it. There's a question that is asked here. Is that, I don't know why it's in the Akhtari Silsila. Whoever is asking this question, if you got cobwebs, take the cobwebs off. You don't have to put in the Akhtari Silsila. In our deen. Our deen is not an Akhtari Silsila. Our deen is deen. Our deen is deen. So if something is in the Akhtari Silsila, it will be there because it's deen. Not for any other reason. So, the person says here that a lot of zohr is made. A lot of zohr is made regarding protecting the eyes, which is very true, not only in the Akhtari Silsila, in deen, a lot of zohr is made to protect our eyes from women and also from lads. Now, who falls under this category of lads? Lads are those who are nearing the age of bulugh. Those that are coming closer now towards the age of bulugh, so they fall under this category of lads. They have no beard on their face, right? And they are nearing the age of bulugh. So the reason that we are asked to protect our gaze from them is evident. Nobody has to even go into why. Today when we got gay rights, which is making everybody sad, but they said they want gay rights and all this filth that goes with it. So do we need any more proof that we need to abstain from looking at lads? We don't need any more proof. The natija of looking at them is proven now. So we don't need any more proof why the zohr is being made. But the concern of the person is that how do we save ourselves from this guna in the madrasa, in the darlu room? Now you've got his students there, they are lads. And you've got elder students in the alim class or whatever, or sometimes even in the alim class, you'll have bigger students there and you have younger students. So, you see, our deen has instructed us to make hifazat of our gaze. Now, we cannot adopt the tariqa of Fir'aun. See, tariqa of Fir'aun was when he was told that a child is going to be born to the Bani Israel, right? And you are going to lose your kingdom at the hands of that child. So what was his tariqa? He said, I get all the cops together, slaughter all the children. Slaughter all the children. So now, that didn't solve the problem. Didn't solve the problem. Now a person is saying that how do I protect myself from this in the madrasa when there are lads in the madrasa? So it comes to the same thing that we need to protect our gaze. Now if a person says, but I'm in a madrasa situation and the lads are there, so what are we going to do tomorrow when we go out in the world? Now we need to go shopping. So what are we going to tell pick and pay there? I don't want not one lady cashier in your whole shop, take them all out. You're not going to find an environment of that situation. Leave pick and pay, you say, okay, I won't shop in pick and pay, I'll shop online, they'll deliver it to me, right? Fine, no problem. How are you going to make tawaf? Leave everything else. How are you going to make tawaf? So, the madrasa is a training ground. If the person is living in proximity with the lads, and he is making hifazat of his eyes, then inshallah when he goes out also, he'll be able to make hifazat of his eyes. So you see, to sort out a problem, we don't start outside. We don't start outside. We have to sort it out from inside. Now once the problem is solved from inside, then outside cannot affect you. The inside, the problem needs to be sorted out. They say when you go for, you want to go overseas, so they tell you, if you want to enter our country, you have to take yellow fever. You have to immunize yourself. Take the yellow fever injection. They don't tell you that no, you want to come to our country, so all these people with yellow fever in our country, we're throwing them out first, after that you come. So you don't expect the madrasas to say that, okay, now all the people who are lads, throw them out, because I've got a weakness of looking at lads, so I must throw all the children out. No, we need to sort out our problem from within. We must sort out our problem from within, that I need to make hifazat of my eyes. So if the lads are there, I need to protect my gaze. If I protect my gaze, I've got no problem. Okay, this is a very, very common, important question. So what do we do when we are having all these different kinds of thoughts, right? Good thoughts and evil thoughts, while we are performing our salah, and how do we perfect our salah? Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they complained that certain thoughts are coming to my mind, which I'm even ashamed to bring onto my tongue. I'm ashamed to even tell you what I'm thinking. Right? And these thoughts are such that they don't come at any other time. They come when I'm in namaz. So one person says, you see, if you lose something, you can't find it, go read two rakats namaz. There the thought will come. You will experience this. The things you never thought of. You never thought of those things for 10 years, 12 years, you know, the thought never came to your mind. You're trying to concentrate in salah, the thought comes away in the mind. Right? So when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, this is true iman. This is true iman. Because if you never had iman, it was not going to affect you that these thoughts are coming. The fact that it's affecting the person that these thoughts are coming, that shows he's got iman. Because you got iman, that's why it's affecting him, it's troubling him. Right? Because you got iman. Right? Now the question is, how do we solve the problem? All that is well and good, everybody got good iman and everything. But how do we solve this problem out now, these thoughts coming? Right? So there's few things. If you follow these few guidelines, inshallah, the problem will reduce and slowly it will disappear. One is, for a long-term solution, right? Long-term solution, try and read our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, as Muhammad Yasa Rahmatullah Ali's kitab, Combating the Whisperings of Shaitan. Combating the Whisperings of Shaitan, if you can get hold of that kitab, try and read the kitab. But read the kitab like a prescription, don't read it like a storybook. Kitabs on Tasawuf, you mustn't read it like a storybook, cover to cover and put it away. He said, I read that one, done that, put it away now, and collect dust. No. A kitab on Tasawuf is something that you read as a prescription. You read 2 pages with full concentration. Think about it. You're not understanding something, consult your muslih or your sheikh. Right? Then you take another 2 pages. After 5 years, you see the problem coming back, go back to the kitab. So you keep it handy. So try and make, you know, a study of that kitab, Combating the Whisperings of Shaitan. It will help us not only in namaz, but in all walks of life, right? So that's a general thing. But make amal on this as of immediate effect. Number one, make our wuzu properly, right? Ensure that our wuzu is made properly, taking into consideration the mustahabbat, sunnats, etc. And make our wuzu properly. Number two, come away into the masjid timeously. Don't come last minute. And the time that we are proceeding to the masjid, don't engage in discussions. After we made our wuzu, and now we're coming to the masjid, That time don't engage in discussions. I tell the musallis there in Marisburg also. I say, no, sometime you coming in the masjid, this you entering the masjid, now that fellow is coming and telling you one heavy business problem he got. Now what's going to happen? You insan, you're going to go on the musalla now. Now what he told you, now that pareshani is in your mind. Are we have to read namaz. Can't your story wait till after namaz? You also going to read namaz. I'm going to read namaz. Talk your story after namaz. So don't talk to anybody. Remain in zikrullah, istighfar, make your way to the masjid. Come away to the masjid, go to the front saf. Don't sit in the second saf, third saf. Go away in the front saf. As close to the imam as possible. Read, give jawab to the azan. Read the dua. Read your sunnahs, if there are any sunnahs to be read, with full concentration. If there are few minutes left, engage in dua or some zikrullah, some tilawat of Quran Sharif, etc. So now what has happened is, the mind is now tuned in. So now when we go into the faraz salah, we are conditioned. Right? But that shaitan, you can be conditioned and reconditioned and whatever, by he doesn't give up. Right? So now you start your salah, and he'll come again. He'll still come. Right? So when he comes to make that waswasa, don't oppose the thought. See, he is making you think of something else. He's making us think of something else. Now we trying to fight his thought. The thought that he's putting in, we trying to fight the thought. He has won the game. Why? Because he took us away from the concentration of what we were doing. You see, you're standing in the queue, in the passport control. The fellow from behind you bumped you. Now you turn around to fight with him. Why you bump me? Can't you see I'm standing here, I'm before you, this, that. What happened? Other three people went away in the front. Right? We're still busy arguing here. You see the people on the road, they say road rage. Right? One Kumbi fellow cut in front of him, so he went now. He was supposed to go left, that fellow is going right. He's chasing the Kumbi, caught him. What you think? What? Now, why is he upset? Because I'm in a hurry to get to work and you cut in front of me. So how many minutes he spent now chasing that fellow and taking off with that fellow? So shaitan does the same thing. We read in namaz, we're on the highway of love. Right? We're talking to our beloved Allah. Now he comes like a arku in the kebab. In between. No, kebab don't have bones. It's arku in the kebab. Like one bone in the kebab he came inside. Now he's trying to take our mind away. Now if we're going to try and fight him, fight the thought, he won. Because he took us away from concentrating on the salah. We must carry on reading our namaz. Leave him. He gets tired. He gets tired very quick. Inna kayda shaitani kana dhaifa. He gets tired quickly. Shaitan. So we carry on concentrating on the salah. Concentrating, if alhamdulillah, mostly Darul Uloom students and all that, so you know the meaning of the Quran Sharif. So you concentrate on the meaning of what is being read. Those of us that don't know, generally we're reading the same surahs every day. Learn the meaning of those surahs. Concentrate on what we're reading. So automatically, he say, I'm clapping with one hand here, there's no joy. I'd rather go try my luck somewhere else. Right? So he'll leave you, he'll go away. He'll come back again in the next posture. So we do the same thing. In fact, one alim had said, if the thoughts are coming too much, at that time, not verbally now, in your mind, make a shukr to Allah. Ya Allah, what a mind you created. What a mind you created. This mind can be in namaz also, and his other thoughts also can come also. What a mind, magnificent mind, makhluk of Allah, this brain Allah created. Shaitan will run away. Why? He's taking you away from the remembrance of Allah. He's stoking, he's making you remember Allah more. Right? So they call it a reverse yoke. So he has to move away. He says, no, this thing is not working. He goes away. Right? So we continue like this. And inshallah, you see slowly, slowly. Now, before, the mashayikh used to prescribe. But nowadays the mashayikh don't prescribe. So we rather don't prescribe. Deal with it. Just now we tell you, then you start doing other things. Just now upstairs, you didn't hear this. One person in Tanabo and Hanka, in the morning they came to wake the people up. This is a pool of blood there. The fellow passed, he committed suicide because he was trying to make his own Islam and do his own things. But the mashayikh of the past, they used to prescribe shaghal. And they used to say that you take one frame or something with Allah's name and just look at it. Look at it, don't blink. Full concentration, just look at it for a while. So what will happen? You develop purpose of mind. You're just focusing on one thing. Generally our mind is hopping around one way. But you learn to develop just on one thing. But that now you must do if your chef tells you to do. If you haven't got a chef, go find one chef. Don't just do on your own. Start doing things on your own. No girl will marry you, man. So he just looks at a wall. What's happening with him? Then you'll come fight with me. So don't do things on your own. Get guidance from the chef. Papers are not finished. I'm sure that writing pad is colors now. How does one remove lethargy and develop enthusiasm to learn one's Quran, Hifz or Kitab? Read the Fazail. Read the Fazail of Ilm. Fazail of Ilm, try and read it. One is, you must analyze our lives. Has any guna crept in? Because as soon as guna comes in, guna comes with zulmat and dalalat. When that comes in, then we, in Joburg, in Natal, you don't hear this, in Joburg, now because we, you know, we cross country, cross provinces and everything, we studied here, studied there, so we know all the slangs of all the provinces. So here in Joburg they say lis. They don't lis. When we came first to Madras, I said, I don't lis, 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 what, lis, lis. One side they laughing at us, they say and all. Tumblr, I don't know what and what. One side we trying to understand their language now. Lis and... Oh, then the Cape Town is making Kanala, Kanala. But slowly you learn all the different languages, you know. So, if guna has come in, guna has come into the life, then the person will lose all enthusiasm to do good. He won't be able to study, mind will close, the heart is locked. He'll find he's going into a slump. So get rid of the guna, make tawbah, make istighfar. And then read the Fazail of Ilm. Read the Fazail of Ilm. When we read the Fazail of Ilm, then that enthusiasm will be created. What opportunity Allah Pak is giving me, keep making muzakara. Muzakara is very, very important. Even if we read it, we did it in the kitab one time, that's okay. But on our own, read the Fazail of Ilm, and inshallah that enthusiasm will be created. When youth ask questions of kufr, then how can you answer when they ask for logical explanation, scientific proofs, etc.? Questions like Taqdeer, why Allah made Jahannam, etc. So you see, when a person is going down this route, person is asking questions of this nature, then you must refer them to an alim. And refer them to a senior alim. Because the alim will know how to deal with the person. Now if we are going to try and give proofs, right? He is going to, insan's fitrat, if I say BMW is better than Mercedes, you're going to tell me why Mercedes is better, I'm going to tell you why BMW is better. So the person, shaitan has got him on a train of thought, right? He thinks that train of thought of his is right. You trying to prove to him that his train of thought is wrong. He is going to give you a proof. And in doing that, he can lose his iman. You rather leave him in a state of ism, in a state of fisk, and protect him from kufr. Right? So somebody comes to you with these type of questions, you tell the person, you know what, why you don't go and talk to this? Come we go together, this thing is bothering me also, come we go together. Now, where we learn this from? Where do we learn this from? Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, say Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, he said, I have become munafiq. Who he is saying it to? The best after the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala doesn't give him an answer. First he asked him, he said, why are you saying this? So he gave his explanation. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr, was he unqualified to give the answer? He could have given some answer from his side. But he didn't give the answer. He said, come. Maybe I'm also munafiq. If what you're saying classifies a person as a munafiq, then I'm also munafiq. Come on, let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now your friend came to you and he said, I got this. Hey, you know what? You're making a point here. Come, let's go with Maulana. If you're going to tell him, hey, now he's going to argue. You get into a heated debate for nothing. So rather tell him, hey, you're saying something. Come, let's go by Maulana. Let's go sit with Maulana. I know this Ustad is very approachable. Let's go sit down with him. He'll explain this thing to us. So then that person's zehen will come right. There was one young person used to attend Hazrat Mohammad Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's majalis. So he was coming regularly. He was a very modern type of person. Youth, he was in the university. And all of a sudden he went missing. Didn't see him. So Hazrat may have thought now the person is not well or he's busy, whatever. But then he sees for a while this person is not coming. So he asks the other brothers there, where is this person who was coming all the time? Where is he lost? So they told Hazrat, they said, no, this Saruman, he is gone off the rails now. Took out his beard, took out his kurta, he's not going for namaz, nothing, he's gone back worse than what he was. So Hazrat said, no. Tell him to come see me. And if he can't come see me, I'll come and see him. Ask him which is a good time for me to come and see him. I'll go and see him. So anyway, he came to Hazrat. So Hazrat asked him, what happened? So he says, no. There is taqdeer. So why should I do amal? Whether I do good or bad, Allah Pak has already decreed whether I'm going Jannat or Jahannam. So why should I do anything? I'll just leave it now. So Hazrat asked him now, where you ended up with this? So I read in Bukhari Sharif. So where you got Bukhari Sharif? You studying in the university, what are you doing with Bukhari Sharif? So he said, no, my friends, they saw that I'm changing my life and they were quite happy for me that I'm changing my life. So they were thinking now what present they're going to give me, my birthday, before they give all other kind of presents. So now they decided now it's my birthday, they're going to give me some present. So they said, no, this Saruna is becoming dini inclined, so best thing, we rather buy him the disc, got the siha sitta on it. So he said, I got the disc, I put it inside. I see that always hearing the Maulana saying Bukhari, that must be the best one. So I started reading Bukhari, now he came in the section of Taqdeer. Now I read a couple of hadith there. What shaitan used to make him go gumrah? The most authentic kitab after Quran Sharif, shaitan used that to make the man go gumrah. Now you see why you need a sheikh? So then Hazrat explained to him this topic of Taqdeer. Sahaba were discussing. Sahaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes past. He hears them discussing Taqdeer. His Mubarak face turns color. Have you been instructed to discuss this? Ali radiallahu ta'ala is asked with regards to Taqdeer. He said that there's a very dark alley, don't walk down there. The person persists. I can't remember everything, but one of the things he told the person is a very deep ocean, don't dive in there. So Taqdeer is something our minds cannot fathom. Allah Pak didn't give us the capacity to fathom Taqdeer. So why try to do something that Allah Pak never give us the capacity to do? If the bodybuilder, 100 kg dumbbells there, he can pick it up. Right? Now if we are not bodybuilder, and if we can't pick it up, then why waste our time trying to pick the thing up? Leave it. Let him carry on. He wants to pump iron. Let him carry on pumping iron. What are we going to do now? We can't pick the thing up. So we must accept our weakness. That I can't pick the thing up. Give it all. It's not for me. So taqdeer, Allah Pak didn't give us the responsibility to understand the concept of taqdeer. Allah Pak only gave us the responsibility to bring iman on the concept of taqdeer. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. That's all. Now we're going to say, but how can we believe something that we don't understand? Then we forgot we're slaves. We are slaves. We have to just believe in it. That's what Allah Pak told us to do. So we must just do it.